Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jacked Ramsey's, Danny Marang, Brandon Sprague, except this time we are joined by a special guest, General Manager of the Portland Trail Blazers, Joe Cronin, is joining the show. We're recording this Monday afternoon, 2 days before the season, so Joe has just finished up with Nasir Little getting his new deal, which we'll get to, but first of all, Joe, welcome in, man. We really appreciate you taking some time.
Hi, guys. Thanks a bunch for having me.
Well, I guess we got lucky, so we'll get right into it.
We did get lucky, didn't we?
We did get lucky. Not only did we have the general manager of the team, we had the general manager of the Trailblazers following the release of a rookie extension for one Nasir Little. Joe, I know you can't go into extraneous detail about this, but can you just walk us through the process of one of, I believe, 10 rookie extensions that were done by the NBA this year?
Yep. Getting these rookie scale, extensions done can be tricky sometimes. It's a year away from the contract starting. It's often with a young player who may or may not have a body of work yet. So anytime you can get one that isn't a really high-end salary guy, say a max player or whatever, it feels like a pretty good accomplishment. And I mean, for us with Nasir, just really, really value him as a player and a person, and just really proud of him and happy for him being able to get this deal and get this security and to be able to grow with us. So, I didn't have big expectations of being able to get a deal done, but I'm really happy that both sides were able to agree on something that they liked.
Well, and this is a big day for you guys, the organization. Joe, I know you heard and you saw the comments. I thought Nas had really mature comments today following that extension. I saw that deal and I thought that's a good deal. It's a guy can prove it. He's making generational money and he took it as such. I kind of want to expand on what you just said there of how happy you are for him. What does it kind of just mean for you and the organization? Because you're helping scouting guys like him. And I saw today, today's a huge day in the NBA of rookie extensions not being agreed upon around the league. Look at all these names that couldn't get extensions. So you talk about the difficulty in that, just what it means for you personally, knowing you were, a part of the process of finding Nasir and bringing him to Portland and getting to this point.
Yeah, it's something you're always hoping for as a scout is to, see a player not just pan out but become a real contract, get a real salary in his second contract, especially when they're late first round picks. I think we all thought that was a little unique where Nasir fell that far, but nevertheless it's still great as a scout to see a guy get through his first 4 years and then know that he's going to be in the league another 4 years beyond that at least. So it's a good little bar to kind of shoot for as a scout in the, as you get outside of the no brainers at the top of the draft, you want to find guys that actually become real NBA players. So that part's cool. And then the part I really enjoy, and in this job, there's hard times and there's great times. And for me, this is the greatest of times when Nas walked into my office today with a massive smile, gave me a huge hug, was extremely thankful and excited. And just the fact that he's so happy and knowing that he's so committed to our organization and this city. Like, it's just, it's very fulfilling knowing we're doing a great job here. He wanted to be here and stay with us. And I think at the same time, he knows by us providing this contract that we also, you know, highly value him. And so it's, it goes both ways to where it's, you know, we're in this together. And that's a cool thing in our league, in a league that doesn't always have cool things happen.
One note before I move forward, Joe, I will give you a hug and be very thankful for a lot less than $28 million.
I take $28 million, though. I mean,
I would. I'm just saying.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As much as this is fun and joyful, we got to do a pivot because basketball is upon us. We are less than 24 hours from the NBA opening up and less than 48 hours from you guys opening up on the road against the Sacramento Kings. And with that, you guys have gotten through the preseason, and it's been rough, to say the least. One of the things that came out of Media Day that both you and Chauncey Billups both said was that you guys were more interested in, or less interested in counting wins, and more interested in seeing what works and what doesn't, and seeing guys play with Damian Lillard. After watching preseason and kind of getting an idea for where guys at as Nasir ramps up, Josh Hart with the starters, Olivier Sarr, who got some start or got some run with the rotation guys, Shaedon Sharpe getting some real minutes, seeing Dame and Ant together, so many kind of moving pieces, Jeremy Grant being introduced into the team. Where do you sit kind of at 30,000 feet and then selectively as you kind of go through the starting group, bench group, and kind of what you're hoping to accomplish in the first 20 games?
Mm-hmm. I think we'll be the first to acknowledge that the preseason, at least game-wise, wasn't super encouraging. We don't, you know, think we played very well. There were, you know, I thought Clippers game, we had some decent moments, but beyond that, I don't think there's a whole lot we can point to yet that says, wow, we're really making progress. But it's funny, it just hasn't translated to the court yet for us because we're really happy with what we've seen, you know, in our gym and in Santa Barbara. Like we thought we had a great training camp with a ton of energy and spirit and guys playing well. And we've had, you know, numerous good practices and just had a great overall off season. So maybe I'm being just optimistic, but I like pointing to those things saying we're seeing these things internally. Now we just have to translate it out onto the floor. And our perspective is, you know, we're building here. We have a goal that we're trying to achieve. You know, we're trying to, you know, play Chauncey's brand of ball, which for us, you know, is going to involve, you know, some patience and some rewiring for certain players and just stylistically these guys figuring out how to play together. So, you know, I think it's easy for people to say this, but I do think we mean it that we're not fixated on outcomes right now. I mean, we want to win and we're very competitive, like just as people and our roster is as well, but we want to see growth and we want to see us winning ball games the right way. So our goal is to be patient. You know, I've said a lot publicly that, you know, we have a ways to go still. And we all know that, but at the same time, we also really like where we are. And I'm just probably more of a positive than negative person by nature. And I'm looking at the positives that we've seen and there's a lot of them. You know, Damian Lillard's back and looks good. Jeremy Grant has been, you know, the exact addition we thought he would be, you know, and his talent and versatility. And I mean, he's just, he's a chameleon out there, and he's just so fun to watch. And he's going to be such a addition to our group. You know, I mean, Anthony Simons, who, you know, would tell you himself, he didn't play great in the preseason, but he's had some days here in our gym where he's unbelievable. You know, some other young guys, Shaden Sharp has had some really high level moments. You know, there's a lot of good things we can point to. Justice Winslow had a great camp and preseason. Josh Hart is rock solid as always, and bringing that, you know, fire and grit and skill set to the table that we're looking for. So there's a lot that we're pointing to. It's just hasn't quite gelled yet. And that's our challenge. How do we get these guys to, you know, to gel and connect as much as possible?
Joe, I think you know this market as well as anybody. You've been here for quite some time. And I think the most healthy thing you could do as a general manager is to not have a Twitter account, just for the mere fact of Twitter is for freaking out. And, you know, these games happen in their preseason, and it's, is the world ending? Are the Blazers going to win five games? You know, you get these people that kind of freak out a little bit. And I'll admit, like, there were some moments that I'm watching, I'm kind of like, I don't know how that's going to go. But I guess I ask you, and you, it seems like you alluded it to a little bit there. For you as a general manager, maybe even Chauncey a little bit from the coaching angle, I know they're different, but how do you gauge preseason? Is it what you said? Is it just basically what you see and how you see them interact in camp? And then, like, how much you take into effect what happens in the games that, I mean, they literally don't count. They're practice. So I guess it's hard to, from our angle, to say this matters and that matters. What does a guy like Joe Cronin, a general manager of a franchise, how does he view preseason?
Yeah. Generally speaking, I try not to put too much weight into preseason, and, you know, specifically around wins and losses, because, you know, teams might clear their bench at given times and all that. But I mean, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't paying attention to the quality of play, you know, during those preseason games. Like, there were certain things I wanted to see. I wanted to see us defend at a higher level. I wanted to see us be, you know, productive offensively and to play with some pace. And there were certain games where that didn't happen. And, you know, I definitely discounted to an extent, saying, yes, it is a preseason game. And yes, this group hasn't, you know, played together a whole lot, and they're going to take some time to figure their stuff out. But I think, you know, it's just natural where you're watching and you see things that aren't necessarily clicking, and it's, you know, it can be alarming a little bit. You wonder, okay, is this game, or is this how we are? Is this, how far away are we from where we want to be? So you have some of those questions, but the nice part is you have all these practices in between. You know, we practiced, I mean, I don't even, let's call it 20 times the last 30 days, and at least, and we've seen a lot of good things there. So you just try to weigh all those things, but I definitely don't think you should react to certain preseason performances, but I do think that they can give you a bit of a pulse of where you're at.
One of the things you hit on there is kind of where I wanted to go next with this, is the idea of you'd like to see X be Y. You've got your markers, your goalposts of like what you're trying to evaluate against. Now that you've been in this chair and you're going into your first off season, or coming out of your first off season into your first regular season, where you've got the reins from day one, what does your evaluation process look like? One thing Terry Stotts was said all the time, but as a coach, they didn't look at things as 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 games. He looked at 5-game windows, these revolving windows. As a GM, you probably have to take a further step back to kind of evaluate. When you're coming into this season, what do those windows look like, and how do they evolve? Like you said, that it's certainly you want to win, but when you're making those evaluations, when do you start changing? When is there enough evidence to drive a decision on who works and who doesn't? Not necessarily even who stays and who goes, but who starts or who gets, you know, slotted here, or when do you sit down and have those discussions with players or with Chauncey to kind of start tightening the screws around things a little bit more as the season progresses?
Mm-hmm. I think you nailed it when you said, you know, from a, like from a GM's perspective, you just have to, you have to take a wider view, where I probably won't really start thinking a whole lot about us as a group for at least a month. You know, let's say we play 20 games that month. I would say at the 20 game mark, I would start to analyze a little bit and say, you know, hey, this is what we need, or this is what we don't have, or this is what we're doing great, and this is what we need to do more of. So I would say probably then. This year is probably a little unique in that it's such a new group together that I would argue I should probably be even more patient than that and give them multiple months, especially with our schedule early on. Like, there's just going to be some rough patches where I don't think there's a whole lot to glean from it other than, are we playing? How are we playing? You know, like, even if we don't win, you know, that game, or if we lose three in a row or whatever it is. But my goal here is to be patient. Like, I'm naturally a patient guy, transactional though. I like doing things. I want to get better. I want to win as soon as possible. But I've got to take an approach where, like, I believe in these guys, and I like the additions we've made, and I like this group, and I want to give them a fair opportunity. Like, I don't want to be a reactive GM that, you know, after 10 games or 15 games is going, oh, we got to really do something drastic here. Like, I hope that's not me, and I don't think it will be.
Well, let me ask you about one of those pieces that might require patience. Actually, I think you'd admit, I think we could all admit it's probably going to require some patience. But Joe, I don't know anything about this Israeli team. I may have been the Santa Cruz Warriors. I don't care. He looked really good. Shaedon Sharpe, I mean, he went from playing 6 minutes in the summer league. He unfortunately gets hurt. We're all devastated because we don't get to watch him play. I'm sure he was devastated. He couldn't grow. What were your thoughts just seeing what he did in a couple of those games and getting some real run and maybe building some of that confidence that we've heard so much about?
Yeah, exactly. It was great to see him get that confidence. And it wasn't for, you know, like a 5 minute stretch. It was throughout that game where he was consistently aggressive, making the right plays, scoring at all these different levels, you know, in a variety of ways. So those games are really important, not just for his mentality and confidence and for his teammates to, you know, gain some more buy-in, but, you know, just from, you know, from our perspective, like, obviously we believed in his talent when we drafted him, but to see him put it together, you know, in a NBA arena so quickly is encouraging. And, you know, we've seen a lot of plays from Shaedon, or a lot of moments and flurries that are super encouraging. And, you know, we'll also see some moments where we say, okay, you need some time, but, you know, as a scout, you're always focusing on, you know, what are they capable of? And to see some of those things, like we saw in that game against Maccabi, and, you know, we'll see flash. We saw a few other flashes in the preseason games, and it's exciting. And I think at this point, you know, we're really optimistic about his future.
Joe, Shaedon's obviously got a long runway for his career. It's gonna be a little while for him. But one of the things that I've asked a lot, kind of coming into this season, and particularly more the last couple of weeks, how do you match those rails of 19-year-old Shaedon Sharpe and 23-year-old Anfernee Simons and 22-year-old Nasir Little and what 20-year-old Keon Johnson? How do you match those rails with Dame? And those that say, like, the idea of you have to pick one of those rails, that you can't stay on both.
Yeah. It's something that I thought about a lot over the last 6 months and still think about a lot today, that, you know, it's a reckless, or it can be a reckless path to take, you know, trying to win and develop at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I think, from our perspective, and, you know, just from, and I think you guys have heard this, it's just as I've talked to you privately and publicly, that, you know, we're trying to build. So this isn't a win now roster, as far as, like, we haven't pushed all of our chips in yet. Mm-hmm. We weren't signing players based on position over talent. You know, we've been choosing talent over need basically throughout this whole process. Like, we knew there'd be some positional redundancies and some positional holes, and, you know, we're okay working through that because we're trying to build our talent base, trying to build this culture we've been talking about. And also, we haven't pushed all of our chips in as far as, we haven't made a big move yet, like using future draft capital or anything like that. So I think currently, you know, and this comes with a lot of discussion with Damian, you know, about trusting where we're heading and trusting, you know, what Chauncey and I are telling him, that, you know, we are building, we do want to win much sooner than later. And to do so, we're going to have to develop some of these guys that are going to have to help us, hopefully sooner than later. But Danny, you're right. I mean, there's certain 19-year-olds who won't be ready till they're 23, at which point, you know, where are we? So I acknowledge that it's reckless, but I also think we've got to get some of these right before we can really take that next step.
Just for the record, before I ask my question, Joe, if you see me at like the 25th game chanting with the crowd, shade in to play, you cannot be mad at me. You cannot be mad at me. I'm a fan at that point. You know what I mean? Everything is out the window. Okay. I need an okay from you on that one.
You got an okay.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. I don't want to overstep here of like what you can or cannot talk about as a general manager. So I guess I'll ask it this way. There is a 7'4" alien out there in the G League on television. And I'm more just kind of trying to get your thoughts on what it's been like talking to people around the league, where you get these national NBA commentators saying like half the league's going to tank, this kid's the real deal. And, you know, you talk about building patience, and if Portland, if you guys can find yourself in a better position than maybe even you're thinking, maybe there's a spot where there's certain teams on the schedule looking ahead and it's not working and they go for the alien. I'm kind of just curious, one, your thoughts on that. And then two, what's it been like in the league? Just when you talk to people, I'm assuming his name kind of just gets brought up because of how much attention he's drawing.
I would love to talk about it, but I can't talk about the amateur prospects. Yeah. I gotta totally duck it.
Okay. I was a little worried that that was happening, but yeah, it's interesting just the narratives people create with stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Joe, we'll get you out of here on this. And this, I think this is the other question that I get asked the most, and I kind of get asked to explain. And instead of me trying to explain it to them, I'm going to ask you. There is some, and you've highlighted this already a little bit of an extent. There's some incongruency in what your stated goals, Chauncey's stated goals are for this team and this roster. How do you and Chauncey meet at a acceptable point of, I know we want to do this, 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 and this, but we can't quite do it with this roster. Where did those interchanges kind of happen, and where are those concessions made, and how do you kind of go about that?
So you're saying like if we hit a point sometime in the future where I'm not sure I totally understand the question, where we're not on the path that we thought we'd be on or we hope to be on, at what point do we pivot? Is that what you're saying?
No, not the tanking idea. I'm just talking about the styles of play, being more aggressive, mm-hmm. being more switchable, having depth at other positions, or being too heavy at other positions. How the incongruency of basically of what Chauncey's style is versus mm-hmm. what you have with a roster, and how it's not necessarily yet. Like I said, it's not a finished product. It's
like flexibility,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How do you guys kind of land on what is an acceptable level of playing a certain style?
Mm-hmm. I think once we establish that we have the appropriate personnel for the way we're trying to play, if once we know that the roster should be doing what we think it should, and if we see that it isn't, then I think we have to look and reevaluate. You know, I mean, this league is constantly, you know, reevaluating style of play, or, you know, whether we're looking at the metrics and all these different ways that, you know, we decide the best way to win ball games are. So I think until you have the roster right, until you know that you have the right amount of talent, the right mentality, the right cohesion together, I don't think you can fully evaluate. Now, we can definitely nitpick little pieces of it and, you know, work on tweaking those and fixing those little issues. But as far as big issues on a massive front where it's, this is our style of play and it is not working in this league, I don't think you can say that until you have the personnel right. And at this point, I think we've made big progress toward that personnel, but, you know, like I've said all along, we're not there yet, even personnel wise, for what Chauncey's hoping to do. We still have, you know, a lot of it will be developing internally, but also, you know, externally, we're going to have to, you know, at least balance the roster more.
All right. Well, hey, Joe, I don't want to take any more of your time. Thank you so, so much for joining us. We really appreciate you. We know how busy you have been and you are going into the season. So thank you. Appreciate you so very much.
Thanks a ton, Joe.
Guys, thank you very much. And I've always wanted to be the guy that says, "Hi, Mom," on the camera. My dad listens to your podcast, so I got to say,
Oh, no.
Okay, there's too many Cronin family members listening to this show. Okay?
Mr. Cronin, oh, no.
Mr. Cronin's watching YouTube.
Yes, he is.
Awesome. Well, hey, Joe, thank you so much. And again, best of luck this season. And hopefully we can link back up and talk again soon.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk soon.
Thanks.
Bye.